Chapter 12. Perry's dogs have one final sniff. Similar to Trump, Perry also had his very own dogs that followed him around, periodically sniffing his butt to make sure it was indeed Perry and not Trump. I believe that anyone who's invested in unfettered power is required to have their very own dogs, a virtual dog pound of hairy crack huffers. Once the Supreme Court instituted chief judge term limits and Perry knew it would be his last term, his dogs came a sniffin'. It was a complex mixture of personalities. Of course, Munyon was a long-term Perry dog. That's funny. It sounds like prairie dog. Munyon had been sniffing Perry's rabid poop pocket ever since he, as Perry said in the Munyon's podcast, ran the Ninth Circuit State Attorney's Office. Once becoming chief judge, in her very first podcast, Munyon insisted on Judge Perry being the first guest of her amazing career. This realization cast serious doubt for court administration if Munyon would run the court or if Perry was going to run the court through Munyon. In this podcast, which I'm sure will be deleted after this book is released, yet I downloaded and posted on my website, Munyon gushes over Perry. It reminds me of my time as a T when I ran sound for bands. Plug for my naughty book Sound Man for a B band. During that podcast, Munyon gave the impression she was a rock and roll groupie who was getting finger-fucked by the lead singer. It sends me back to fondly remembering an old flame when I was young. Then, like 30 years later, in the extreme recesses of my mind, for some stupid reason, I believe they're the same person be, for we all got old, ugly, and wrinkly as a Shar-Pei. Interesting observation and completely unrelated to this novel. Have you ever noticed when you're dreaming about your time's boyfriend or girlfriend, husband, barroom encounter, maybe your teen love Susie Lou or Bobby Joe? In your dream, they are always the same age as when you were with them? I think it would be fascinating if you dreamed they were as old as you are now. Maybe not. That might be frightening. Yeah, definitely a bad dream. Munyon was the only female in the entire pack of Perry's dogs. All the other female judges, those with integrity, those who witnessed the state of Florida pay $65,000 large to settle Perry's sexual discrimination lawsuit, had immediately jumped off the Perry train, post-haste. These bright female judges saw through Perry's manipulative, deceitful, power-hungry, womanizing bullshit and immediately disassociated themselves from this scumbag. But not Munyon. She was a blind Perry follower. Perry laid down his doggy scent, and Munyon huffed up that excretion like a fat line of fine Peruvian flake. Even after this book, I'm certain Munyon will still be Perry's most outspoken supporter. She not only chugged down all the Perry Kool-Aid, but she selfishly left very little for the rest of his dirty pack. Isn't it weird when you see a dog walk up to a complete stranger dog and sniff their ass? Well, Munyon had her entire dog-shaped head stuffed up Perry's ass and was trying to smell Jezebel's taint on Perry's breath from inside his large intestine. Court admin executives didn't know what to think. Initially, they thought if Munyon became a chief judge, then she might cast Perry aside, as other chief judges had done. Of course, as each chief judge spurned Perry, Perry would make a call to the press, which he actually worked for after leaving the court, and report that Judge so-and-so did this or that or whatever the fuck popped into his demented brain at the time. Then he would call that judge and tell him or her that he could make this problem go away if, when Perry was forced to never be a chief judge again, rather than playing on the basketball court with the new chief judge, Perry had already decided he would take his ball and go home. I believe in the back of his mind, Perry believed if the right chief judge was put in place, then he could still run the court via a proxy power scenario. Of course, instead of selecting his female super-devoted, mega-infatuated, fart-box-huffing Munyon, he didn't want to leave the court to a woman, even if she was his very best ass-sniffing dog in his pack. Instead, Perry chose a long-term, respected Judge Lawton to succeed him. I'm not really sure what Perry saw in Lawton, other than Perry believed Lawton was someone who he could intimidate and influence. Why Perry didn't jump right to Munyon, only Perry knows. I still believe it was a woman thing. He couldn't accept that a woman could possibly step into his position and fill his immense clown shoes. During those final days of Perry, every now and then I found myself thrust into the midst of Perry's dogs. It might be a court convention, a dog and pony show for another state's Supreme Court, or some type of event where I couldn't avoid being part of the group. I would always trail behind the group as we were walking to lunch or dinner. At every busy red light, I imagined tripping and pushing Perry into the path of a passing bus. Why I never did it? I don't know for sure. Maybe it was my sense that evil motherfuckers like Perry never die. I'm sure his gut would have been the first thing to hit the bus, and similar to superheroes we see in the movies, the bus would have done a dead stop and flipped over Perry. Perry would have then smiled and walked away unscathed. Perry always defied the odds and survived. How many court administration women can you screw and not end up getting disbarred? Perry survived mostly because court administration dutifully covered for him, as they did for every chief judge. That was their job. That is still their job. After this book is published, I will make dozens of public record requests to the Ninth Circuit Court of Florida, and each request will be received with this overriding concept in mind. How do we protect the judiciary? It doesn't ever occur to them if this action might be right or wrong, because it's simply a protection racket. The chief judge walks into your office with his pants down while he's jerking off. The only thing that would come to mind of a court administration employee is how do we cover this up? As for my public records requests, I already know that court administration has no choice but to dream up a scenario where they can't fulfill the request. Else, they'll lose their gigs. After this book hits the shelves, Mignon is going to belch chief judges' fire in their faces. If they acknowledge they're keeping secret files on chief judges, they're toast. Just like me. During Perry's unimaginable rule of the Ninth Circuit, they had never let any of Perry's escapades hit the press or leave the confines of the 21st floor until a new chief judge took over. At that point, they would gingerly probe the connection the new chief had with Perry in an attempt to determine how much history they could confidently share and still remain employed. Besides surviving major pussy problems, Perry even survived health issues. During the Casey Anthony trial, Perry was in such bad physical shape that everyone in court administration was just hoping that in front of the camera, that he would clutch his chest and fucking die. All of our lives in court administration would have been so much better if Perry had capitulated. Most of court administration wouldn't have attended his funeral. I would have attending only so I could take a shit on his grave after everyone had dispersed. Ah, I'm lying. I probably would have done it right in front of everyone. I'm still hopeful Perry goes before me and is not cremated. Why, yeah, the shit thing again. However, as I already stated, for some cosmic reason, evil motherfuckers never die. I'm sure I'll be dead long before that malevolent turdpipe, and I accept my fate, begrudgingly. Again, I got off on a little tangent imaging killing Perry. My apologies. Although I have to be frank, that gave me a spike of extraordinary joy. Okay. So we're near the end of Perry's horrible and never-ending reign as chief judge and all his dogs are really huffing and a-sniffing. Lawton can almost taste the sweet materialization of the highlight of his career, and then after that achievement, he would quickly retire. I honestly thought that Judge Lawton would be a decent chief judge. My only reservation with Lawton was totally oblivious to all the decades of skeletons Perry and Mignon had kept ensconced in their conjoined closets. I truly believe that Lawton thought that Perry was a good and respectable chief judge. Ugh, that turned my stomach. To me, Lawton was the guy you wanted in your foxhole only if he arrived with hot food. Other than that, he would simply have been cannon fodder. He brought nothing to the table. No ideas, no passion, no real idea of what the fuck he was doing, which made him the perfect vehicle for Perry to control. During the times when I was forced to interact with the dog pound, I wanted to take Lawton aside so badly and tell him, Judge Lawton, Perry is a total piece of shit, and the only reason he's allowing you to sniff his crusty, pungent dog mud pussy is that he thinks he can control you and therefore run the court through you. Yet, as a court administrative subservient, the court administration's main obligation is to protect the chief judge at all costs. It was like throwing yourself on a sex grenade. I couldn't tell Lawton anything. If I decided to make the honorable move and make an appointment with Lawton, then went up to his chambers and leveled with him, Lawton would have thought I'd gone mad. He would have immediately reported my faux pas to court administration, which would have given Perry plenty of ammo to fire me. So, it was always a chaotic dance. It was like you were trying to straddle the opening dance floor on It's a Wonderful Life. You always hoped that Perry's dogs would come to their senses, but alas, they never did. Dogs are dogs. You can't expect them to be people. It wasn't just me. Even the human resource director and court administrator couldn't enlighten a prospective chief judge until they had already been elected. Too little, too late. It was similar to withholding nuclear launch codes until a United States president-elect took the oath and moved into the White House. However, giving credit to court administration execs, after Lauten had been elected as the chief for a full year, they provided him a complete rundown of what was in Judge Perry's secret folder. However, realizing that Munyon was a devoted follower of Perry, to their credit, the court administrator told me they had even informed Munyon of Judge Perry's Jezebel sexual connection. Yeah, as if she didn't already know. The day Munyon announced that Perry would be her very first podcast, court admin executives knew they couldn't share any further information with her. It would be like lighting yourself on fire. During Judge Perry's rule, court administration couldn't put anything in Perry's official human resource folder. Why? Because if Perry ever found out, they would all be fired. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Therefore, they started a 20-year unofficial folder, hoping it might save all their asses if the shit ever hit the fan. It would have been smart for them to take it out and protect my job. Each year, each time court administration employed Perry's latest girlfriend, the folder got fatter and fatter. Near the end of his term, I'm surprised that court admin didn't have to rent a warehouse to hold Perry's non-human resource folder. They couldn't keep it on their computers because Jezebel was watching their screens and hard drives. As Perry's term as chief judge was winding down, and he had already announced his retirement, court administration got very nervous. We're talking about a man with unlimited power to destroy court administration lives. And Perry had a lot of scores to settle. However, at the time, he did have his demands. First, he wanted to have a huge retirement gathering. It was supposed to be so large that it couldn't be held in the Ninth Circuit's massive jury room. Court administration would be required to find an auditorium with plans for overflow areas. Dutifully, doing everything to get Perry gone with as little drama as possible, court administration did their best to find an auditorium while trying to figure out the security side of the request. Perry would have done anything to stay at the court, as long as he remained the chief judge. However, his ego would not permit him to remain for 1 minute as a common judge. So his retirement was umbilically tied to the Supreme Court chief judge term limit mandate. The second demand Perry insisted on was the Osceola County Courthouse should be named after him. He lobbied court administration and the Osceola County Administration to put his name on the building. Yet Perry never understood that just about everyone, except his dogs, hated his ass. He continually threw his considerable weight around in every circumstance, and it was a real turnoff to Osceola County Administration. He had no supporters in that county, and therefore his request to have the Osceola Courthouse named after him was denied. That was a good day in the Ninth Circuit Court Administration. We coveted the realization that someone would have the balls to tell this lame duck chief judge a solid no. I suggested to my court administrator that maybe a sewage plant in Osceola could be named after Perry. It made a lot of sense since Perry was so full of shit the plant could pull double duty processing the additional capacity. With the understanding that Osceola was a no-go, Perry petitioned Orange County to name a building after him. Orange County said they would consider it, but they were playing a waiting game. They knew Perry had 1 foot out the door, so all they had to do was kill time until his fat ass was gone. However, Orange County finally agreed to name their new mental health facility, the Belvin Perry Jr. Central Receiving Center. Talk about a crazy selection to hang Perry's name on. Perry was the main instigator trying to destroy court administration employees' mental health. He couldn't go a day without threatening a job for no reason other than his enjoyment, putting helpless employees back on their heels, or committing some sort of subterfuge against court administration. I still believe the sewage treatment plant would be much more fitting. How about this, the Belvin Perry Jr.? Always have to add the Jr. shit factory. I think it has a nice ring to it, if not for the smell. During those final days of Perry's reign, Jezebel started coming to work and tried to re-engage with my systems department. She did her best to prove she still had some use to the department, although by that time, figuratively being retiring for 10 years, her best effort came up really short. It was an uncomfortable situation for everyone. I mean, Perry was leaving, and it was now or never. It was time to fulfill promises he had made to people. People being those he fucked and those he fucked up. I fully assumed that the very last thing he would do is fire me and make Jezebel the court's new CTO. However, Perry still understood that I was a wild card. He knew I was a writer and came from a writing pedigree and had a large reader following. He understood that with what I had been through, I could possibly screw up his chances to make $1 million a year working for the law firm Morgan & Morgan. Perry had a lot to lose by taking me out. This was a concept so foreign to Judge Munyon's intellect that I might as well have been an extraterrestrial alien who had come to Earth and written a tell-all book. She had absolutely no concept of the power of a whistleblower with a writing pedigree that was backed up by fact. Expanding on that topic, okay, put yourself in Chief Judge Munyon's shoes. Your task? Pick someone at the court to fire. Would you fire the computer expert that can send emails to every attorney in the United States? Would you fire the only court admin employee with a literary background and someone who has written a dozen novels? Would you fire a 30-year veteran of court administration who knows all the judges' secrets? Would you fire the guy who has always been a little crazy and will certainly take all his combined skills and nuke the court using his laptop? Perry was cagey and hesitant to fire me because he realized all of those facts. Munyon is just fucking stupid. It turns out that Perry made the right decision passing over Munyon for the new chief judge that would replace him. If this book had come out a decade earlier, Munyon would be gone and Perry would have never been offered his $1 million gig at Morgan & Morgan. So Perry is days from leaving the court. At this late stage, Perry wanted to shed some dead weight, mostly women he no longer needed. For example, when he left the court and started getting his $1 million a year from Morgan & Morgan, he didn't offer his amazing judicial assistant a job at Morgan & Morgan. Let me tell you, in direct contrast to Perry, this was one of the nicest people you'll ever want to meet. You could tell that she despised working for such a cretin, and her tone was almost always apologetic. So instead of finding her a job at Morgan & Morgan, he left her at the court, without a judge to work for. I mean, Perry could have told Morgan that she would be happy with the salary she was making at the court and Morgan would have hired her, but Perry didn't want to be bothered with it. 30 years of a woman's devotion didn't even register with him. That's a pretty fucked up psychopathic trait. Perry's retirement extravaganza was held in a high school auditorium. There were no overflow areas required. I believe that court administration let anyone in court administration, which was hundreds, paid leave to attend Perry's gala. No one showed. The attendance was that of an active COVID patient convention. Perry wasn't happy. He blamed court administration for not promoting his retirement properly. I went to it, not because I wanted to, but because Perry had 2 days left in his official capacity as someone who could fire whomever he wanted. I believe I sat in the front row, beaming at every word that fell from Perry's fat mouth so he could see me. I clapped louder than any other motherfucker in the entire place. I smiled and demonstrated convincing joy when award after award was given to the dickhead. Perry's wife was in attendance, and I felt sorry for her. We had to deal with Perry during the day, but she had to deal with this total cheating asshole at home. It must have been sustained and non-diluted degradation for the helpless woman. Perry's retirement was like a BB dropped into the Grand Canyon compared to the party that court administration threw afterward. I feel it was the greatest degree of happiness I had ever experienced, and that includes the birth of my 3 children. 20 years of Perry played out over hours of drinking and telling the very worst Perry encounters. And everyone in court administration was invited, except for judges and Perry. It was marvelous. I even brought up my fantasy of tripping the propelling Perry into traffic where he was hit by a bus. The rest of court administration globbed onto the scenario, and we actually worked out where I might kneel to tie my shoe, and the guy behind tripped over me and launched that piece of human waste into traffic. We drank and reveled in being released from the dictatorship and daily terror of Perry. If you could imagine Putin throwing in the towel on Ukraine and pulling out completely, including the Crimea, then that was the energy of that night. The reality of the situation was only muted by knowing that we had 2 more days to survive this asshole. And an unstable chief judge could do a lot of damage to court administration employees in 2 days. I drank and talked shit, But in the back of my mind, I was thinking that Perry would fire me and make Jezebel the new CTO. However, there was a timing issue that Perry had to overcome. For example, let's say Perry told the court administrator that he wanted me fired immediately. Well, immediately could be stretched out a bit until the prick was gone. It was a gray area. If Perry wanted someone fired and a new chief took the chair before court administration could execute Perry's wishes, well, Perry also left Jezebel working for the court without a net. However, a Perry net would come into play that none of us ever saw materializing.